Now, obviously, tonight is a very different night. We do this once a year around Halloween. We do this. It's called Sugar Fest. And we've had a great time. I've had a great time. I know you guys have had a great time seeing you guys dance and have fun. And you're with your friends and you're dressed up, some of you, and all that good stuff. We had a lot of good costumes. So I know we could only pick three and one winner. But we had a lot of you guys go all out. We appreciate you doing that, making, you know, having fun with it and all that good stuff. But listen, I want to tell you something really quick. I believe that I have something for you tonight that could change your life. The thing that I want to talk to you about tonight. But you can't listen if you're talking. It's impossible for you to listen while I'm talking, okay? Or listen while you're talking. So I need you to pay attention. Now, I want to ask you guys a question, and I don't want you to yell. I don't want you to talk to your neighbor. I just want you to raise your hand if this is true of you, okay? I want you to raise your hand. Just all you got to do is this right here, okay? I want you to raise your hand if you've ever been lost somewhere, okay? Again, you don't have to talk. Just raising your hand. All right, good. So I feel good. I'm in good company. For example, maybe there's been a time where you've been lost on the road with your parents, maybe going on vacation, you got lost, right? Or maybe for you, you've gotten lost like playing a video game, you got lost on a level, you didn't know where to go. Or maybe for you, you got lost, maybe you got lost, like in a department store, or you got lost in the mall, or you got lost maybe in like a big stadium. Guys, I really want you to listen. Really just want you to listen tonight. I can think of a time when I got lost. I have two older brothers, right? And this story is I was in second grade, right? So I was about, 7, 8, 9 years old. And maybe that's too, I don't know, somewhere around there. Second grade. And my two older brothers, we would go to the mall, and on this particular day, we loved to go to this place called Aladdin's Castle, right? And Aladdin's Castle has nothing to do with Aladdin, okay, because this was way back in the day, all right? But Aladdin's Castle was this arcade, and this arcade was so much fun, right? And so there was all these different games, and my brothers, they always had this particular game they wanted to play. It was called Clutch Hitter. It was a baseball game. And it was a lot of fun, but of course, me being in second grade and them being older than me, they would never let me play. I just had to watch them play. So what I would do is I would go to the skee ball or to the little basketball goal deal and try to get as many tickets as I could, right? So that if I got so many tickets, then I could get a ton of candy to go home with and all that good stuff like all of you guys are going to get tonight. And so I loved going to Aladdin's Castle, but here's the problem with Aladdin's Castle is that like a lot of video game places or arcades, you know, imagine like Dave and Buster's, but nowhere near as big, you know what I'm saying? But the thing with Aladdin's Castle is that it didn't have a bathroom. Yeah, it didn't have a bathroom. And so my brothers, man, they loved playing this game, Clutch Hitter. And when I say they loved playing this game, what I mean is we were there for hours. We were there for hours, right? So all I'm doing as a second grader, my mom would have probably been mad at me, is eating candy and drinking Coke, okay? And so, of course, I got to a place where I had to go to the restroom, right? But of course, some of you can relate, maybe you have an older sibling. My brothers were not going to leave their video game to take me to the bathroom, right? And so me being a second grader, right, I just got this idea. Man, I'll try to find it. I'll go out. I mean, it's just in a department store like Belk or JCPenney or something like that. So I'll just go try to find the bathroom. And I remember this story. I probably only looked for like 5 minutes, but it seemed like an eternity. You know, when you're a little kid, you seem like you look for something forever. And you like looked under the couch one time, you know, for something. And it just seems like an eternity. And I remember... Man, I remember I could not find the bathroom anywhere. I was so distraught as a second grade kid. I just couldn't find it. So then I go back to the arcade to get my brothers, and I get to the arcade, and my brothers were not playing clutch hitter. They were gone. And so I'm like, wait a sec. So I left to go to the bathroom. Now I'm coming back to the arcade. My brothers aren't here. And then I'm like a little bitty second grader. I'm starting to get a little scared because I'm lost, right? So I go out into the mall, and you got to remember, man, I had to pee pretty bad. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it was intense. You know, I mean, this is like 2-3 hours of watching my brothers play video games, drinking Coke and eating candy, right? And so I go out into the mall, and I just don't know what to do. I'm looking everywhere, you know. Some of you guys, maybe you can relate. You get lost. You're looking everywhere. You're trying to find something or someone that you know, whatever, right? And right there in the middle of the mall, right, this is a story about me being lost and embarrassed, right? In the middle of the mall, just peed all over myself. Just let it go. I just had to go, man. I couldn't find the bathroom, right? And so I just had to go. And so here I am in the middle of the mall, right? And here's what's crazy about the story is that all these adults, right, they're watching me try to look for the bathroom, and none of them are helping me find the bathroom. They were just really mean, right? And so middle of the mall, just peed all over myself. Now, and this is, I mean, you got to understand, like, I've been holding it in for a few hours, you know what I'm saying? This is a bad deal. And so, of course, I'm a second grade kid in the middle of the mall with pee all over me, and I'm just crying. I'm just weeping because I can't find my brothers anywhere, my two older brothers that are great older brothers, but they forgot about me. You guys ever, you know, some people, sometimes you feel forgotten, right? And so I was lost in the mall with pee all over me, right? And I remember a couple things about the story. I remember that it felt terrible to have pee all over me. I remember that I didn't like the feeling of being lost. I didn't enjoy the feeling of being lost. I didn't like what it felt like, right? And I didn't, you know, I thought my world was ending. You know, as a second grade student, just because I couldn't find the people that I was there with. And so I thought that the end of the world was coming because I couldn't find them. And of course, all they were doing was just eating at Chick-fil-A or something like that, right? But here's the thing. Here's what's really cool is that it's cool to look at Scripture, right? And for the next few minutes, I want you to pay attention, really close attention tonight. I want you to pay really close attention tonight. Because for the next few minutes, what's cool is that Jesus told a story. Jesus actually told three different stories about what he does when things are lost. About what it means to be lost and what he does when people feel that way. And I want to read these to you. I'm going to read two really quickly, and then I'm going to summarize a third. Here's the first one. It says, suppose one of you has 100 sheep, right, and loses just one. You have 100 and you lose just one. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost one until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and he goes home. Then he calls his friends and his neighbors together and he says, rejoice with me, for I have found my lost sheep. Shh. If you're talking right now, please stop. It says, I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents. In other words, over one lost person than over 99 righteous people who do not need to repent. Then Jesus tells a second story, and he says, or suppose a woman has 10 golden coins and loses just one. Doesn't she light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin. In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner In other words, one lost person who repents. And then Jesus, I guess he's telling these stories to these people, right? And he's thinking, maybe they're not getting it. So I'll tell you another one that maybe you'll understand even more. And he says, there's a father who has two sons. And basically what happens is one of the sons goes to his dad and says, Dad, I'm ready for my inheritance now. Well, the importance of that is that usually, much like most of us, if we have an inheritance, we wouldn't receive an inheritance from our parent until our parent dies. But this son was basically saying, I want the money now. So the son goes to his dad, gets the money, leaves home, goes away from home for, the Bible doesn't say how long, but a long time, all the way to the point where he squanders all of his money. He spends it on useless things, things that don't last, things that are temporary, things that he thinks are going to please him and satisfy him, but it doesn't work. And the Bible says he's literally in the pods with pigs. He's literally eating what pigs eat. He didn't even have a shirt on his back. That's how homeless he had become, because he had spent all of his money on useless living. And what the Bible says is, it says when the son came to his senses, I want you to listen to this. He said, man, how many of my father's servants have food to spare, and here I am starving to death? In other words, man, my dad's got so many guys that work for him, and here I am his own son, and I'm starving to death? Something's really wrong with that. And he says, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to go back home. I'm going to go to my dad, and I'm going to say, Father, I have sinned against you, and I've sinned against heaven. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son, but make me one of your hired servants. And so he got up and he went to his father. This is the best part of the story. Jesus is telling this parable, this story to these people. He says, but while he was still a long way off. So imagine, let's just imagine the length of a football field. 100 yards. The Bible says while he was still a long way off. So we'll just say it's 100 yards away. While he was still a long way off, his father saw him. Listen. His father saw him, and the Bible says he had compassion for him, and so he got up and he ran to his son, and he threw his arms around his son, and he embraced him, and he kissed him, and he hugged him. And listen to this, listen to what the Bible says. The son says to his dad, listen, don't lose it, this is important. The son says to his dad, he says, Father, I have sinned against you, and I've sinned against heaven. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. The Bible says, but the father said to his servants, quick, bring the best robe and put it on my son. Put a ring on his finger and put sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. In other words, let's throw a big party because my son was dead and now he's alive. My son was lost, and now he has been found. And so they began to celebrate. Now, students, there's something that all three of those stories have in common. They all three have this in common. They each had something or someone that was lost, right? And they each had someone, this is the most important part, they each had someone looking for what was lost. And I want to make something very simple for us tonight, and then we'll wrap it up. As you listen to those stories, I want you to understand this. You and I, we are the sheep. You and I, we are the coins. And you and I, we are the son. We have that in common with these stories. We are the sheep, we are the coin, we are the son. There was a time when everything was great, when there was no pain or no suffering or no sadness or no anger. There was no sin in the world, right? There was no killing or no death, no suffering, no gossip. There was a time when everything was perfect, and Adam and Eve, they had free reign in the garden. They could do what they wanted to do. They could say what they wanted to say. It didn't matter, right? And then what happened one day is that sin entered the world because Adam and Eve chose to disobey God. And so because of that fall, all of these things exist, like suffering and hurt and pain and gossip. Sin. Sin is the result. Sin exists because of that. And because of sin, I want you to get this. You and I, because of sin, we are all declared lost. We're all declared lost because of our sin. So what does it mean to be lost? It's very simple. What it means to be lost is that you don't have a relationship with Jesus. That's what it means. To be lost, it means that you don't have a relationship, a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. But the best part of that truth, right, is that there is a remedy to the situation of being lost. And the reality is that all of us, if you don't have a relationship with Jesus, if you've never invited Jesus Christ to come into your life, if you've never said, I want to be found, I don't want to be lost, I want to be found, I want to know him, I want to invite him into my life. If you've never done that, we are so glad you're here because you're going to have the opportunity to do that tonight. But if you've never made that decision, what that means, not trying to be harsh, but be real, is that you're lost. It means that you're lost. The Bible tells a story of how God came down from heaven in the form of man, Jesus Christ. And Jesus walked the planet, and he loved people, and he served people, and he healed people of physical and spiritual sickness. But yet, Jesus never did anything wrong, right? He never did anything bad. He never had any sin in his life. But because of the fact that Jesus loves all of us, it doesn't matter if you think that he doesn't love you, you're wrong. He is madly and radically in love with you. It doesn't matter what you hear away from this place. It doesn't matter what your parents tell you. It doesn't matter what your friends tell you. It doesn't matter what your teachers tell you. Listen, the truth of the Bible and of the gospel is that Jesus is in love with you. And the reason why we know that to be true is because he died on the cross for your sins. Jesus Christ, who was perfect, right? Because of how much he loves you, he was nailed to a cross. He was beaten for you. He was mocked and ridiculed and made fun of, all for you. So that our relationship with God, which begins when we're born, we are lost, we are broken, we are separated from God because of our sin. But Jesus is the remedy, and he fixed it. Through Jesus' death on the cross and his burial and his resurrection, now you and I can have a relationship with God once again. So I want to give you a couple thoughts, and then we're going to be done. The first thought is this. I want you to know, if you don't hear me say anything else, you matter to God. I want you to know that tonight. It doesn't matter what you think, it's just true. It's all over the Bible. It's all over Scripture. You matter to God. It doesn't matter if you feel like you don't matter to anyone else, but you matter to God. You matter to God. The Bible says it like this. The Son of Man, being Jesus Christ, the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. He came to seek and save the lost. If you're here tonight and you would say, I know I'm lost. I know I'm lost because I've never began a relationship with Jesus. Jesus came for you. He came to seek and to save the lost. If in your gut tonight you know, man, when it all comes down to it, I know that I'm lost because I've never began. Christian, I've never began a relationship with Jesus. It means that you're lost. It means that you're lost. And you're lost because you don't have a relationship with him. And it's important to understand that the only way for you and I to go from being lost to being found is through Jesus. It's not through coming to church. It's not through reading our Bible. It's not through being a really good person. It's not through doing the right thing all of the time. The only way for you and I to go from being lost to being found is through Jesus Christ and having a personal relationship with him. And so here's what I want you to do tonight. Here's this very, very simple. And whatever you're focusing on, don't focus on anything else. Shh. All that you have to do is accept his invitation to be found. That's it. If you're here tonight and you say, man, Pastor Stephen, I know I'm lost. And I know I'm lost because I've never began a relationship with Jesus. And that doesn't mean you understand everything. It doesn't mean that you have all the answers. It doesn't mean that you know all the Bible verses. Nobody does. But it just means I want to accept this invitation to be found. I want to leave here like the son left home being lost, but he came back home being found. He came back home being found. And so the Bible says it like this: if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, then you will be saved. So this is what I want everybody to do. I want you to close your eyes and I want you to bow your heads. I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes. Bow your heads and close your eyes. Bow your heads and close your eyes right where you're at. Just bow your heads and close your eyes right where you're at. We're going to get it all taken care of. Just bow your heads and close your eyes. This is the most important part of the night. Most important part of the night. Here it is. If you're in here tonight and you would say, Stephen, I am lost. I feel like maybe you did when you were in the mall, or I feel like maybe the son did. Maybe you feel like God doesn't love you. Maybe you feel like you've done something so bad that if you were to return back to God, that he would say you can no longer be his, like the son felt to his father. But what happened? When the son went home, his father embraced him. His father loved him. And you would say, I know that I'm lost because I've never accepted Christ. And so tonight, I want to give you that opportunity. As your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, as you're not paying attention to anything or anyone else around you, I want you to pay attention in this moment. If you're here tonight and you would say, that is true of me, Pastor Stephen, that is true of me. What is true of me is that I am lost. I feel lost. I've never began a relationship with Jesus Christ. And I want to do that tonight. It's very simple. This is what I want you to do. As your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, I simply want you to pray this prayer right after me. You don't have to pray it out loud. It's more so a prayer that's between you and God. Just a prayer between you and God, and just say this. Just say, God, I admit that I'm a sinner. I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe Jesus came so that I could be found tonight. And so I invite Jesus to come into my life. I don't want to be lost anymore. Thank you for saving me, Lord. I commit my life to you. In Jesus' name I pray.